Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
There's a proverb that we learned, and anybody who's taken a business course in college, you learned this proverb. Once you go woke, you go broke. That is a new 21st century proverb in the world of business. And a lot of people are beginning to come to terms with that. They're beginning to understand what that means. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. And we are so delighted to have you here. Now, there's a fascinating story that came out last night, and we've got the story up at toddstarnes.com. You can read it for yourself. Starbucks has made a shocking announcement. They are shutting down 16 of their stores. Now, in the course of a business, that would not be all that surprising because you've got some places that do well and other places that do not. By the way, Grace Baker, Whataburger, just opened in the Mid-South, where we broadcast from Memphis, Tennessee. The first Whataburger opened, and there was a line down the sidewalk around the corner as far as the eye could see.
Yeah, I think I'm waiting like a year or two before I go over there because I think it'll be pretty popular for a
while.
They
serve 1,700 burgers. That's the number. Ooh. I heard. 1,700 burgers.
That's
on opening day.
A lot of day. Patties.
It's a pretty darn good burger joint, and it's open 24/7.
Oh, there you go. College kids will love it.
Or I'll give you a call at 2 o'clock in the morning. You and me and Mr. Producer can go down and grab a burger.
There you go.
At the Whataburger. Anyway, again, Whataburger doing really well. Starbucks not so great. And here's the reason why. And this is a fascinating story. So this goes back to really 2018, but even before then. Now, I don't like Starbucks. I'm just going to right out of the gate. You need to know that. I hate it. And the reason why is very simple. Well, there are two reasons. Number one, I don't like to pay $5 for a cup of coffee. And number two, their coffee tastes burnt. I don't know, maybe that's just me, but their coffee always tastes like it's burnt. And then you have all of these juices and whatnot, the green sludge where they mix a lot of what grass and lawn clippings. And I'm just not into that. I know people like that kind of stuff, and I'm not judging you. I mean, if you want to drink liquefied lawn clippings, that's your God-given right under the United States Constitution. Me, I prefer to use a weed whacker. But Starbucks, they get off on that, and they apparently do very well. They make a lot of money. I see the lines, which rival that of Chick-fil-A during the breakfast hour. So, you know, whatever. But back in the mid-2000s, Starbucks went completely woke. We already knew they were liberal, but they went full-blown woke. And you might remember that they had an episode where they wanted people to start talking about race relations. And so their recommendation was you're standing in the line because it takes forever to get your coffee. And you stand in line and you're supposed to talk to the person behind you about race relations. And that didn't go over very well at all. I don't know why. I'm just shocked. It didn't go over well. And you know why? Because when you're going to get your coffee first thing in the morning, you don't want to be talking about politics. You don't want to be talking about the weather. You don't want to be talking about the wife or the kids. You want your coffee. And Grace Baker, we have a standing policy here at the Todd Starnes Radio Program because I'm a nice person. I'm a very kind-hearted person.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, took the staff out to grab some brisket at a new brisket joint in Midtown Memphis called Bain's. Delicious barbecue, by the way. So I would like to think of myself as a kind-hearted individual.
As long as you've had
at least two cups of coffee.
Yep.
The rule here is nobody bothers the boss until he's had at least two cups of coffee.
Yeah.
Because it's an addiction.
I drink mine before I even come in, but I drink the cold brew.
You see, I don't understand that. What's the point?
Because it's
cold coffee.
It's cold coffee.
No, that's disgusting. You got to heat it up like an American does.
Okay.
That's the way the Russians drink it.
It's better than the lawn clippings.
So, well, preach. So anyway, Starbucks, they've been woke for a long time now, and they've tried to force that upon their customers, and all they want is they just want to fork over their $5 so they can get a burnt cup of cold coffee. So in 2018, there were a couple of guys, and there were black guys, and that's important to the story, and I'll explain that in just a moment. But two black guys go into a Starbucks, and they were wanting to use the bathroom, and they said, no, you can't use the bathroom because the bathroom is only reserved for Grace Baker. The bathroom is reserved for
customers,
paying customers, right? Now, is that a bad thing? I mean, it seems to me that's a pretty normal thing. Now, you could, I mean, if it's an emergency, you could ask the Starbucks people, and I'm sure they would say, okay, you know, just this once. But these two guys go in there, and they said, no, you're not allowed to use the bathrooms because you're not a paying customer. The place was packed, and so the guys refused to leave the store. So they called the popo. And so the popo come down, and the popo said, you got to leave the store, and you're trespassing. You're not a paying customer. You've got to leave. And the guy said, no, we're not going to leave. They got arrested. National news story. Starbucks accused of racism, and they immediately capitulated to the woke mob. And so Starbucks implemented a new policy, and the new policy said, anybody is welcome to use our bathroom. Now, Grace Baker, when they first announced this policy, I thought to myself, heaven help anybody who's going anywhere near a Starbucks for coffee.
Yeah, it's a good point because they're letting anybody,
it doesn't matter. Push. So what happened? So every homeless person in these cities started showing up and turning the bathrooms. And the stories, folks, it's the lunch hour for those of you out on the East Coast. We don't want to upset your bologna sandwich. But the horror stories coming out of those bathrooms.
Gross.
Unbelievable. But beyond that, you had all these mental whack jobs that were coming in. They were fighting with the customers. You had drug addicts going in and shooting up in the bathrooms. Ugh. And this is all documented. I mean, there have just been horror stories since 2018. So finally, Starbucks said, enough is enough. I mean, people's lives were literally in danger. If you were a barista at Starbucks, your life was in danger if you worked in some of these Starbucks locations.
Terrible.
Now, here's the interesting thing. I've got the list of all the Starbucks that are shutting down. Every single one of them in a Democrat-controlled state. Ooh. And a Democrat-controlled city with DAs in every one of these cities who are soft on crime.
There you go.
All of them.
I'm seeing a pattern there.
Again, once you go woke, you go broke. So anyway, I was going through the list, and we were doing some research for the show, and one of these is in West Hollywood. Now, West Hollywood is sort of where,
I've never been to Cali, so I'm lost on
right.
that one.
You'll have to
lay it out for me.
I'm trying to, but I don't want to get in trouble
The minefield.
I've got to walk through this minefield delicately, if you don't mind, sashay through this particular minefield, because West Hollywood is predominantly where all the gays live in Hollywood. I mean, everybody's gay in Hollywood, but predominantly gay in West Hollywood, which I'm not judging. I'm just saying that's just a matter of fact. So anyway, they actually have what they call the gay Starbucks. The gay Starbucks is actually one of the ones set to close down.
What?
Not even the gays are safe from the homeless and the drug addicts. In California, in West Hollywood.
Wow.
So anyway, I'm not surprised by some of the Seattle.
Not surprised.
You've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the Starbucks closing in Seattle because
of
the crime.
Isn't that where
their headquarters. Yeah, that's their headquarters.
That's insane.
Now, in Washington, D.C., Union Station, which is a beautiful, beautiful building, they've completely renovated it. It was filled with all these beautiful shops and restaurants, and it's the gateway into Washington, D.C. And I will tell you, when I worked at Fox News Channel, I would take the Acela Express. That's the train from New York to Washington, D.C. And I had to stop doing it because it was just too dangerous. Oof. I mean, the homeless have literally been allowed to overrun the train station, and they literally set up tents outside on the sidewalks. And it's like you're walking into, I don't know, a third world country like Mogadishu or something. So anyway, the Starbucks there at Washington, D.C. at the Union Station train concourse has gotten shut down as well. They're closing it up. And Starbucks, they're very honest about all of this. Now, the unions are saying, well, they just don't want union workers. No, they don't want dead workers.
Yeah.
That's why they're doing it.
Can be a lot of grumpy people at these places. They're not going to have their coffee. I guess you're going to have to make it at home and save some money.
Yeah, Starbucks writing to their employees, we read every incident report you file. It's a lot. We cannot, can you imagine, it has to be even worse than that because these people are leftists and they hate admitting that their policies stink.
They probably like had to word it very carefully to fit the narrative.
Oh, yeah,
there.
Because they're going to be accused. It's just like the grocery store. We had in Memphis, Tennessee, we had a grocery store. It was in a tough part of town. But all the activists, they're out there marching in the streets from their preaching from their platforms, you know, oh, you know, these people don't want to set up a grocery store because they're racist. They don't want people. They don't want our people to eat lettuce or tomatoes. They just want our they want our neighborhood to eat Cheetos or whatever. I don't know whatever anybody eats. But the whole point is, so they bring in a grocery store into this neighborhood of Memphis, and you saw the story a couple of months back, Grace, where they had to finally shut down the grocery store.
Yeah, quite
and why
unfortunate.
Is that?
Crime.
And yet they turn it around, and when those grocery stores and the Starbucks and the Walgreens, when they pull out of these neighborhoods, you know, they're going in, they're making an investment, they're building structures, they're putting in buildings, in a lot of cases, they're really sprucing up the neighborhood, and the things they get, you got a bunch of thugs that come in and rob and beat up people. And then all of a sudden, it's the business owner's fault.
Don't forget the shopping malls. We discussed that yesterday.
Or the shopping malls. Thank you. I mean, it's a great example. It's really appalling that you've got people, especially small business owners, that are investing in these shopping malls and other places, and yet they're being run out of business because you've got moms and dads that are dropping off their little thugs and thuggets and thuglings, and they're letting them terrorize people. And nobody wants to say anything about it because they don't want to be accused of being a racist. And so what happens? Well, you've got now Starbucks, you've got all these workers that are going to be unemployed.
It's very sad.
And yeah. They would rather be unemployed. You see, they didn't even bother to address the problem here. They would rather shut down those stores than actually talk about the real problem here. I'm just saying it's
and nothing's going to get solved and they're just going to have to shut down more stores.
But you know what I do? I go to Kroger. I get a big box of my community coffee, pecan praline, happy camper.
I actually make my own coffee.
And it doesn't cost $5 a cup.
No.
And I don't have to fight for the soap in the bathroom with a homeless guy who's trying to, you know, clean his armpits.
Oof.
That actually happened. Not to me, but
I'm
it was
about to say.
Starbucks. I'm just saying. 844-747-8868. Do you feel sorry for Starbucks? That's actually our opinion poll question. I think they're getting what they asked for. But once you go woke, folks, you go broke. That is the lesson they are learning. Folks, I'm telling you, it's these people soft on crime, all these George Soros district attorneys. If you've got a district attorney race in your community for the midterm elections, that is probably one of the most important races on the entire ballot. I'm telling you right now. And you just ask the good people of New York City, they're afraid to even walk outside because they're afraid of getting shot. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show. You guys have helped build MyPillow into the amazing company that it is today. Now Mike Lindell, inventor and CEO, wants to give back exclusively to his listeners. For a limited time, you'll save $50 on their Percale sheets. That's right, $50 if you order now while supplies last. Please take notice, they are different from their Giza sheets with an imported 250 thread count. They're breathable with a cool, crisp feel and durable yet still machine washable plus easy to care for. Call 1-800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS or go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square and use the promo code STARNS. This offer will not last long, so order now with the promo code STARNS at MyPillow.com for this radio exclusive offer on Percale sheets. All right, people, welcome back. Good to have you with us. The Todd Starnes radio program, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruity plain. Hey, the story out of Ohio about the this little 10-year-old girl. This is a tragic story. The 10-year-old girl who Biden talked about in one of his remarks about Roe v. Wade, she was raped by a man. And this is how the mainstream media covered it, that she was raped by a man and she had to travel to Indiana to get an abortion. Well, they left out a big part of the story. And here's the big part of the story. The alleged rapist is an illegal alien. This story coming to us from Adam Shaw, who is one of the best writers over at Fox News Channel, and Bill Malugan. Both those guys are good buddies of mine and great Americans. Well, actually, Shaw is British, but he's a great American. Anyway, I digress. The man charged with the rape of a 10-year-old girl in Ohio is a Guatemalan illegal immigrant. The G is silent. This information coming from Immigration and Customs Enforcement. The Columbus Dispatch first reported that Gerson Fuentes was arrested after police said he confessed to raping the child on multiple occasions. You know what they ought to do with dogs like this, savages like this? Once they confess, just go ahead and put them out. That's what they ought to do. And do it in the public square as a warning to any other people who would dare violate a sweet little child. That's what they ought to be doing to these animals. The source told Fox News that Fuentes is a Guatemalan national in the country illegally. ICE has placed a detainer on Fuentes. He will eventually be handed over to the agency for removal proceedings. Well, not now. He needs to go away for a very long time, if not executed for his crimes. The story of the alleged rape was initially published in the Indianapolis Star in the context of the victim having to cross state lines to Indiana to get an abortion due to the state's laws. It was cited by proponents of abortion access who highlighted it as an example of the consequences of access being limited. And, of course, then President Biden. So what happened was somebody at one of these abortion clinics leaked this story to the Indianapolis Star, and then Biden's team got a hold of it, and now they're making this all about abortion. But it's not. This is not about abortion. This is about our border and what's coming across that border every single day. It was Donald Trump, and you go all the way back. Remember the day when Donald Trump announced he was running for the president, came down the beautiful golden escalator at Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue in New York City, and he talked about a bunch of very bad people coming across that border, and he said that some of them are, in fact, rapists. And President Trump, then candidate Trump, was crucified by the mainstream media. How dare you? How dare you disparage those good and decent people who are coming across our border just to claim the American dream? No, they're coming across to rape the women and the children. That's what some of these people are doing. Very bad people. That's what President Trump was trying to say. And he was right. He wasn't calling all of them rapists. By the way, everybody coming across the border is a criminal because they're breaking our laws. They're violating our national sovereignty. Nobody wants to talk about that. But I'm happy to have that conversation here because the issue is if we would have had a secure border, this little 10-year-old girl would not have been raped. But nobody wants to have that conversation. That is the cold, hard reality. Democrats are responsible for what happened to that little girl just as well. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. Our website is toddstarnes.com. Bookmark that. We'll be right back, America. There's no doubt the nation is facing a financial crisis because of the Biden administration's economic policies. Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and no doubt our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you are vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, physical. It's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold, and they can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship the gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can actually fit inside a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-528-1903 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's legacypminvestments.com. Goodness. Grace Baker, I have a question for you. I'm putting you on the spot.
Why you gotta do that?
I don't know. It's Thursday. I wanted to have a conversation with you about nuclear war.
Whoa! That escalated
quickly. Do you ever really think about that? I mean, do you think that, you know, somebody could just drop the bomb on Memphis, Tennessee?
I mean, it's like when, you know, growing up, it's like, oh, you know, things couldn't get worse. And they say, well, a meteor could fall out of the sky and hit you. It's like, well, yeah. I mean, I guess it's crossed my mind that something disastrous could happen, but nothing like, no. I've never thought, nuclear war. Someone's going to launch a nuke at us. No.
You never really thought that?
No.
Or a dirty bomb?
No. Like I said, maybe a meteor or something.
You know, it's weird. When I lived in New York City, because I wouldn't think about that here, but okay. But occasionally, you know, I'll think of something like, you know, like, okay, what would Todd Starnes do if they dropped the bomb?
Oof. What would you do?
Well, I would probably say hello to the Lord.
That's what I'm like. I think that.
Howdy, St. Peter. How's it going? I'm not sure you're going to have much time to think.
No, you're not. Exactly. So why think about it?
So all of that to say, when I was in New York City, I actually did think about this. And if you live in New York City, you actually do think about these things because of what happened on 9/11.
That's true.
In 2001. And ultimately, and they've run these scenarios that if somebody detonated a dirty bomb, like a nuclear suitcase bomb in like Times Square, it would take out a certain number of blocks.
Sure.
And I'm thinking, as I'm sitting a block from Times Square, my goose is cooked.
Yeah.
So there's really not much you can do about it. So anyway, the other day there was a PSA, a public service announcement that was released in New York City by the Emergency Management Department. It's got the entire country talking and wondering what exactly is going on here that they would release something like this. Take a listen.
So there's been a nuclear attack. Don't ask me how or why. Just know that the big one has hit, okay? So what do we do? There are three important steps that I want you to remember. Step one, get inside fast. You, your friends, your family, get inside. And no, staying in the car is not an option. You need to get into a building and move away from the windows. Step two, stay inside. Shut all doors and windows. Have a basement? Head there. If you don't have one, get as far into the middle of the building as possible. If you were outside after the blast, get clean immediately. Remove and bag all outer clothing to keep radioactive dust or ash away from your body. Step three, stay tuned. Follow media for more information. Don't forget to sign up for Notify NYC for official alerts and updates. And don't go outside until officials say it's safe. All right, you've got this.
All right, so people are really freaking out over this and wondering what's going on. Why now? The mayor says, "Oh, we're not being alarmist. We just want everybody to know what to do." Okay, fine. If a nuclear bomb hits and you're inside, I don't think it's really going to make that much of a difference. And there's no way to evacuate, 13 million people from the New York City metropolitan area. So it is what it is. So my question is, why now? Why now? What's up with this alarmist attitude, and what do they know that they're not telling us? Now, a couple of weeks ago, you had the Russians say, all right, fine, you guys are going to go to war with us. You're going to prop up Ukraine. We're going to come after you. And the first target, if we're attacked by NATO, we're going to take out London and we're going to take out New York City. And I don't think they're joking about that. But I think something else is going on here. You know, we've been seeing the and following the developments in places like Sri Lanka, where they have been suffering through the same things that we're beginning to suffer through here, where the government is cracking down, the economy's in the toilet, you've got food shortages, and you had citizens storming the prime minister's residence. You've got farmers in the Netherlands that are clashing with police, just like they did up in Canada, what, about 5 or 6 months ago. And there is a lot going on in the global world and the global environment that we need to be very concerned about. What am I saying here? I'm saying that because the United States is no longer a strong superpower under the Biden administration, our weakness is leading to chaos around the world. That chaos can lead to armed conflicts, and those armed conflicts could very well erupt into a full-blown World War III. That's where I'm concerned. So I don't think this PSA came out of some sort of a vacuum. Clearly, the folks who run New York City are nervous about something. We don't know what it is, but they're wanting people to be prepared for it. 844-747-8868. What do you think it is? What do you think's going on here? 844-747-8868. A lot of this is coming from this World Economic Forum, this global one world unified system. There's a phrase that was used back in the H.W. Bush era and George W. Bush era called the New World Order. And this is something that Democrats and establishment Republicans have been all over. They're embracing this kind of stuff. They want a one world form of government. I mean, that would be a preference for them. But if we're not careful, we could very well stumble our way into some sort of a world war. And that may be the only way for Joe Biden to salvage his presidency is by getting us into a war and becoming a wartime president. You say, Todd, are you kidding me? You're like, Todd, what? Have you seen the polling data? They're saying that the Republicans are going to sweep the midterm elections. Well, yes and no, because there is a brand new poll that came out yesterday, and it shows that the race for Congress is much tighter than we are being led to believe. What have I been telling folks for weeks now? You need to be out there. Republicans need to be out there campaigning like they are 20 points behind in the polls. Nothing is guaranteed. According to the latest New York Times poll, the question that was asked, and this is Siena College in the New York Times poll, what is your preference for the outcome of the 2022 congressional elections? Now, Grace Baker, I'm putting you on the spot again. You should have called out today.
Yes, I should have.
If you were guessing, based on what we know about the chaos in Washington, D.C., I'm curious, what percentage of voters would be voting for the Republicans?
Oof. Would be voting for, and this includes Democrats, Republicans,
yeah, this is everybody,
all across the
everybody,
board.
Everybody, yeah. 50%, 60%.
I was going to say 60%.
70%? 60%.
60%.
Wrong.
What is it? I'm sorry. I failed my quiz.
40%.
No.
According to the New York Times poll, 41% favor Democrat control of Congress. 41%. 40% prefer Republican control. 19% are either I don't know or I don't care.
Yeah, that's a big problem.
That's significant. And that, again, tells me that the Republicans really don't have a message. And that's because the message is all over the place. You ask the Trump wing of the Republican Party, the midterms are all about what happened in 2020. You talk to the establishment part of the party, and it's all about taking out the MAGA people. You've got this sliver of conservatives who are like, we've got to save the country from being destroyed. keep in mind, 9.1% inflation, and we've got 2 years to go of this administration.
The longest 2 years ever.
So I'm very concerned that we are heading to a place in the midterm elections where the Republicans are going to screw this up.
They have a history of doing that.
There is absolutely no unified, there's none.
No.
No unified message. It's all over the place. And if we don't have a clear message, if we don't have a vision, I believe the good book says the people perish.
Yes. And I'm going to call out a little bit of the Trump people, a little bit. The voters, there's a lot of people who they do care, but they're like, you know, if it's these certain candidates, I'm just not voting. And that's a problem. You have to vote, buddy. Sorry.
Oh, we've heard it. No. Here it is, Grace. And you're right to call it out. You've got the ultra MAGA crowd. Well, if they're not an ultra MAGA candidate, they're not getting my vote. You've got the establishment side. Well, if they're not establishment, they're not getting my vote. Okay, fine. Stay home and you're going to put Democrats in charge. And we're better off because of that.
A no vote is for a Democrat.
Because that's what happened in the last election cycle.
Yep.
Yeah, I know that there was fraud. I get it. But you know what? What are we going to be doing? Campaigning in 2024 on the election was stolen in 2020?
I think that's exactly what happened in Georgia.
Is that what we're going to do?
I think people stayed home in Georgia, and that really cost us.
That's exactly what happened. But nobody will admit that. And then you have the people in the middle that are afraid to say anything, because if you say one thing, oh, you hate Trump. No, I don't hate Trump. Oh, you hate the country. No, I don't hate the country.
I don't hate anybody.
I just don't want 9.1% inflation.
I want to win. I just want to win.
But they don't want to go down that path, and they better get it together. This is a disturbing poll. Among likely voters, Republican led by 1 percentage point, 44% to 43%, reflecting the tendency for the party out of power to enjoy a turnout advantage in the midterm elections. But folks, if this polling data is accurate, I don't know if it is, you know how these polls are, but that means we can't take anything for granted. And that means every Republican, every conservative is going to have to get out, and you're going to have to campaign like you're 20 points behind. Otherwise, we're going to have 2 more years of what we just had. And I don't think we can go through that. So you're right, Grace. We need to call out both sides. Everybody needs to get their act together. And I don't care who the nominees are for whoever wins the primary, that's your nominee. Get behind that person. You may not like the person, but they're the nominee. Suck it up. And we got to do what we can do to stop the Democrats. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. Can I tell you about iced tea? I love iced tea. I'm a huge iced tea fan. I switched over to the unsweet iced tea. I got to watch my figure. But I love iced tea, and I especially love Life Change iced tea. It's an amazing, natural, gentle beverage. I drink it every day. It is the right combination of 12 herbs. Comes in 3 delicious flavors, natural, peppermint, and pomegranate. It's been around since 2007, made right here in the USA, so you know it's good. It's super easy to brew, keep in your fridge. Pop in a few ice cubes and you've got yourself a refreshing glass of iced tea. Folks, they've got a great deal. Life Change Tea does. Buy 3, get 1 free. It's the big summer sale. Buy 3, get 1 free. Go to getthetea.com to order some today. Getthetea.com. Now, listen up. Got to use my code Todd10. That's Todd10. They're going to give you $10 off plus free shipping. That's $50 in savings. We'll be right back.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now, 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, Paul just sent me a text. Todd, Joe is going to give a nuke to Iran while he's in the area. You know what? As crazy as that may sound, I would put nothing past this administration. Just keep in mind what Barack Hussein Obama did. The piles and piles of cash sent to the Iranians in the duffel bags. Let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Harold, North Carolina on the line. Hey, Harold, what's going on?
Well, my Rush Limbaugh that I thought I had is not the person I thought you would be or were.
How so, Harold?
I've listened to you when you were on the religious reporter for Fox News, and then I found you on the radio, and when Rush got sick, I would turn to you, you know, when somebody else was filling in for it, because I thought you were that person. And, you know, you just quoted a New York poll. You didn't tell how many Republicans were asked that, how many Democrats were asked that, how many independents or anything. All you did is come out with 41-40-19, and you didn't tell who the data that backed it up. And another issue that I have with you is Herschel Walker. How many campaigns have you ever run?
How many have you run, Harold?
I haven't run one on.
So what's your point, Harold?
Well, my point is that you sound like a rhino now.
Is that right? Now, how do I sound like a rhino? And by the way, Harold, one of the things that we do here on this program is that if somebody disagrees with me, we take them at the very top. So we invite people to call in who disagree with me or who want to say something about me. All you had to do was tell Grace that, but that's not what you told Grace to get on the radio today. And Harold, I got a problem with that.
No,
you lied, Harold. You lied.
No, I didn't.
But go ahead. You lied to Grace. Harold, we're going to... No. Harold, let me explain how this is going to work. You're not going to talk over me. I'm going to give you a chance to speak. But you're not going to... But you lied to Grace Baker to get on this program. So you're on the air now, and you're accusing me of being a rhino. Look, I'm sharing this information with you, Harold, and it's to encourage Republicans to get out and vote. We can't take anything for granted. How does that make me a rhino?
Well, it makes you a rhino. You go down and get before Trump and his rallies, and you give all these powerful speeches. And then when you get away from him, you tell everything, you know, about it. Just like you think the stuff in
like Herschel Walker. You brought up Herschel Walker. All right, let's talk about Herschel Walker. How is it, Harold? How is it that I'm a rhino? Because I think it was important for Herschel Walker to debate his fellow Republicans during the Republican primary, and he refused to do so. How does that make me a rhino?
I'm saying that his campaign manager didn't think that was the thing to do. And
guess what? And now we've got a guy who literally thinks he wants to be in the United States Senate, and he thinks that China is going to steal our good air and replace it with their bad air.
Well,
I would have liked to have known that before Election Day, Harold.
Okay.
You don't think so?
What are they doing? He used that as an analogy.
I didn't hear the word analogy in that speech, Harold. So, again, look, it's one thing. If you want to call in and complain about me, we're happy to do that. We put you on the air, Harold. We got to run because we're late for a break. But don't lie to Grace Baker about it. I mean, come on. At least be upfront about it. But there you go, folks. Harold says I'm a rhino. Harold says that I don't like Trump. Harold says I shouldn't be quoting polls. What say you? 844-747-8868. Pro, con, doesn't matter. We're going to put you on the air, folks. And if you disagree with me, tell Grace, and we'll put you at the top of the list. This is the Todd Stern Show. Shame on you, Harold.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2 of the Big Show. Good to have you with us today. So Breitbart's got an interesting piece up. More people want former President Trump to run in 2024 than want Joe Biden to run for re-election. This is coming from the Politico Morning Consult survey, and they were asked, hey, should Donald Trump run for president in 2024? 35% said he should either definitely or probably run. According to this poll, 61% say he should either definitely or probably not run. But the number we're focused on is the 35% who say that he should run for re-election. That's interesting because only 18% want Biden to run again. That's Republicans and Democrats. And that tells us that the support Biden has is gone. There's none. Just none. The entire party has abandoned him. We're talking about historic low numbers among Democrats. This is mind-blowing. And you know Jimmy Carter, who's a teetotaler, he's popping the champagne because he's no longer the worst president in modern American history. Unbelievable. So, you know, I hear people and they get very upset, and look, I am a Trump supporter. But there are people out there, and if you question anything about Trump or the administration, you're all of a sudden a rhino. That's sort of the MO. And that's intellectually dishonest. And I got a problem with that. I don't read off of anybody's talking points. I don't care if it's Trump or the Republicans or the Democrats or whoever. We don't do that here. Now, we don't want everybody to have the same opinion. Otherwise, it'd be a boring talk show. But we don't want you to come on the program and try to make stuff up. I mean, for me, I mean, it's laughable to think that yours truly is a rhino. I want to go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Jerry Lynn, our good friend in Georgia, WDUN. Jerry Lynn, what say you?
Well, hey, my sweet Todd and my love Grace. I just had to call in, Todd. I want to address your last caller. Mr. Harold, no disrespect whatsoever to him, but he is what part of the problem with the rhinos. So if anyone's a rhino, Todd, it is Mr. Harold. Harold, I would like to say to you that you need to be following Todd Starnes because, Todd, this is why. Besides me loving you, and I am straightforward, you know that. I am not a demon rat, and I am not a Republican. I am now a straight-blown conservative. And, Todd, you and Steve Bannon are the only two that report facts and real news. So Mr. Harold needs to get in line with the rhinos, Mitt Romney, Mitch McConnell, and he needs to listen to you more, and then he would realize that you're the only one that gives us truth. So, Harold, you need to go do whatever, plow your garden, honey, whatever you want to do, and join the rest of the rhinos. Because all of us that listen to Todd Starnes out here know for a fact, Jack, that he is nothing but truth. And you are so far off that he's a rhino. Why don't you go join Biden, biggest idiot demon rats ever nominated, Harold? Oh, that's not what I got to say, God darn.
Jerry Lynn. Look,
he done made me angry, honey, calling you a rhino. Oh, my goodness.
Jerry Lynn, now you've put me in a position where I think I have to defend Harold. I don't think Harold's a rhino. I just think he doesn't understand the point of me sharing that polling data. It's not that I believe the data, but it's a reminder that we've got to be focused. We can't take anything for granted. And I don't know who they're talking to. I've never gotten a call from one of these pollsters, but it does serve a purpose, and that's the purpose.
Todd, me and millions of others tune in to hear you and what you have to say every single day. So, no, I'm sorry. You can defend Harold all you want, but, honey, Harold, go plow your garden, honey. Go plow. Stay in your garden, honey, and stay out of politics because you should not be voting if that's what you think.
Jerry Lynn, are you doing well otherwise, Miss Jerry Lynn?
Darn.
It's okay, Jerry Lynn. Are you doing?
Don't be talking about my Todd and Grace, honey. I'm telling you, I'll flat the shiznick off your tongue.
What?
There you go. I'm trying to be a Christian, Todd.
Jerry
Lynn. Oh, he done ruffled my feathers.
I don't know what to do. Jerry Lynn, God bless you. You see, this is the best part of our show, is we have the kindest, most ferocious callers out there. And Jerry Lynn, you're one of our favorites. God bless you. When we come through to Gainesville, you got to drop by and say hello.
You better believe I will, Todd. I love you and Miss Grace, honey. And like I say, Todd, you're the last person standing that tells us the truth. You don't tell us what we want to hear. You tell us what we need to hear.
We do our best.
I love you, Todd, and I appreciate you greatly.
All right.
Don't let Harold ruin your day.
You take care of yourself. All right, Miss Jerry Lynn, she's in charge of, we're going to put her in charge of security, Grace. I think
that's a great idea.
Wow.
She was fired up.
Fired up, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, here's how crazy it was. Harold calls to insult me. She calls to go after Harold, and I have to defend Harold.
Oh, I know. That was quite how the tables turned.
I'm confused. Okay, let's go to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Mike on Nuga Radio. Hey, Mike, I don't know what's going on, my friend.
Well, anybody named Harold, his mother must have dropped him on his head anyway.
No,
I'm going to name you Harold.
Mike,
your father, Harold.
It's a good southern name.
Rush Limbaugh was a rhino. What's he talking about?
Wait, what?
Are you kidding me?
No.
Rush Limbaugh was a rhino. If a Republican took, you know what, the middle of the room, he would say, oh, that's just ice cream. Don't worry about it. It's chocolate ice cream. Are you kidding me? He defended every Republican, whether they were conservative or not. Who's he trying to kid? God rest his soul. I mean, Rush never talked about the Federal Reserve. He never talked about abolishing ATF. And I'm going to tell you this, and then people may get mad. Donald Trump is a rhino. Because when Trump was in there, he did a lot of good, but I didn't see any three-letter agencies eliminated. I mean, come on. Really? I mean, he cleaned out the swamp a little bit, but...
You see, I don't think Trump was a Republican in the first place. I think he's his own entity. You know, political party.
Yeah.
But to your point, and that was one of my great disappointments. And again, I love Donald Trump. I'm in good favor with everybody. But I had a problem with several things that Trump did not do, and one of them was to abolish the Department of Education, for example. I felt like that was a crucial thing to save the future of the country. But that doesn't make sense. Just because you disagree, and this is the challenge we've got in politics, Mike, you disagree with somebody on one issue, it's like you're dead to them. And you're
we're seeing that.
Wait, come on now.
But not the left. The right will eat its own over one issue. But the left is focused on what they want to accomplish, and they will forgive each other because of that, but not the right.
No.
We disagree on one thing, and we eat each other.
Which, again, is why, and that was the point of the last hour, is to say we've got to get it together here. And
we just can't elect Democrats. We can never, ever. You know, I say this. I say there has to be a party for stupid people, and that's why there's a Democrat Party. as bad as the Republicans may be, you can never, ever vote for a party that believes it's okay to murder an unborn child and pay through Planned Parenthood and use their body parts. They are reprobate mind. They are satanic. That's my opinion. You just could never, ever vote for a Democrat, ever, under any circumstance.
That's it. And we've got to get that message out there, and especially in the large urban cities. Mike, I know you guys in Chattanooga have been in the national headlines with the out-of-control crime there. Memphis, Tennessee, on the other side of the state, you know, we've got the George Soros coming in and propping up the Democrat. It's crazy. They want to get these soft-on-crime DAs installed, and we just can't afford to sit back and do nothing this election cycle.
No, I agree. And I'm just going to end with this. I don't know if you agree or not, but if you're married to a Democrat, divorce them. If your friend is a Democrat, unfriend them. If your wife or husband is a Democrat, divorce them.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay, thanks.
Appreciate Mike. Go away, Mike. Jeez, hello. What has happened today? People are fired up. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Look, we're going to take a break, regroup. We will open up the phone lines. You know, how does that work, though, if you've got a mixed marriage like that? You know, if you've got, like, a Democrat spouse and you're a Republican, does that even work? I don't know. Producer Grace, does Mr. Producer, is he a conservative too?
He definitely leans right. Can I say
good.
That?
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Okay.
No, that's good.
No, to answer your question, though, what about somebody who, what if you both entered the marriage and you were both Democrat and then one of you became Republican?
So you converted.
What if you convert? Here's my thing. I say it's a covenant. You can't break it. Sorry, Bucky.
What?
if you're literally, it's a great marriage except for the politics. Sorry.
You're going to divorce? You would divorce somebody?
No.
Oh, you just
got to
suck it up.
You got to suck it up, Buttercup.
Oh, really? Wow.
That's what I say. But, you know.
Wow.
I just think at that point, like, it's politics. You've already made the covenant before the Lord. If you want to break that because of politics.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Grace Baker. Hey, folks, famed political strategist Dick Morris. Well, he says Trump's running for president. He wrote a book about it. So, he knows something. Few people know President Trump better than Dick Morris. His new bestseller is coming out this week. It's called The Return. It reveals the president's secret plan for 2024, his real reason for running, and his coming surprise announcement. Dick Morris says President Trump faces three threats, but Biden can never be reelected. Newsmax says you must read The Return this year. Already number one on Amazon. Go to... And again, this is a great website, thereturn911.com, thereturn911.com. You're going to be able to get Dick Morris's book, a free offer from Newsmax. You're going to be able to save $28. The Return 911, that's The Return 911. I know you're going to be sleeping good if you sleep with a MyPillow, but even this news may give you a sleepless night. This is from Breitbart. Christina Wong is the reporter. More than 260,000 troops are not fully vaccinated, and many, if not all, could face discharge under the Biden administration's mandate. So we're looking, again, at least 260,000 American troops that are not fully vaccinated. One of those, we told you about a couple of weeks ago, Master Sergeant Nick Kumper served 19 years in the Air Force, had a military or a religious exemption, rather, and his religious exemption was denied. And now he stands to lose everything, all of his medical benefits, his retirement, everything, on the verge of getting ready to retire after 20 years in the military, and now he's about to lose everything. But this is a pretty dangerous place for us to be in, especially as Biden moves us closer to a possible war with Russia, not to mention what's happening with China and Iran. All right, let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Creed in Hendersonville, North Carolina, WHKP. All right, Creed, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, I got two questions to ask you. I'm glad Donald Trump's going to run for president again. And the other question I got, have you watched Biden around the kids? He always has the kid around him when he's doing speech and stuff, rubbing their back or rubbing their neck. That's kind of funny, don't you think?
Well, I think it's kind of criminal, Creed, and perverted. It's weird. I don't know what that is. And we asked people yesterday on the show if this is some sort of a clinical thing, if it's part of dementia or senility, where, you know, old people are just going around sniffing children. But you find that to be odd.
Very odd. That's pedophile, wouldn't you call that?
Pedophilia. Well, it's certainly on that path. It's disturbing. Creed, appreciate the call. And Creed's talking about, and we've got the video up on our website. You can see it for yourself. Joe Biden, in a group setting, had all these people around him. He was riding his bicycle, had the helmet, the whole nine yards, and he's taking a photograph, and the little girl is there, and Grace, he's sniffing the child's hair.
And did you hear the woman in the background? She's like,
oh my God.
He's sniffing her hair. It's terrifying.
It's bizarre. You've got to watch the video.
You have to see it for yourself.
It's cringeworthy.
It's so cringy. And to his point, it's like, no, it's just straight up creepy. That's what we can say. Creepy.
And the little girl, just, you could tell just by the way she jerked her head. Oh, yeah, it was really uncomfortable for that child. And that's not the first time that's happened.
Ugh.
With boys and girls.
Ugh.
And so when you're, and then, so, yeah, I mean, to Creed's point here, when you read the stories about Ashley Biden's diary, where she said that she was taking showers with her father, and that may or may not have been inappropriate.
Lost my appetite.
When you see Hunter Biden with all the videos of the crack cocaine and the hookers, and, I mean, the whole family's messed up. The whole family's messed
up. They're going to need some major therapy after all this.
And I'm concerned about the grandkids. I mean, because they're all old enough to read all of this and to see all of this. And it's just really disturbing. But I do wonder what would happen if just the average old man, let's say you're down at the Walmart and you're in the checkout line, and some old man starts sniffing your child's hair, what would you do?
We'd be having a throwdown in the middle of the Walmart, I can tell you that.
I'm thinking that's criminal behavior.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. All right, let's go to Miss Janice in New Orleans, wants to weigh in on this little girl in Ohio that was assaulted by this illegal alien. Hey, Miss Janice.
Yes, hello, Todd. No, I personally don't think that you're a rhino. And that lady that called, I forgot her name now, the one that was
Miss Jerry Lynn.
Oh, well, Miss Jerry Lynn, I hope that you are still listening. Because if you are, I wish you a very lovely day, and God bless you. You're just a great lady. I love you, Miss Jerry Lynn. I really do. Now, here's the thing, Todd.
I'm getting misty.
Now, here's the deal here.
Yes.
Now, I didn't know this, but I had heard. Now, if you have an uncle, a cousin, or just a relative maybe living in your house, or maybe not even living in your house, okay, I understand how a child can be molested more than once.
You know what we're going to do, Miss Janice? Hang tight. We're coming up on a break here, and I want you to be able to finish your thought. I don't want you to have to rush through. So I'm going to put you on hold, and we're just going to carry this over. But again, the first hour of the program, we pointed out that the mainstream media, they're leaving out a very important fact about this 10-year-old girl who was raped. The suspect is an illegal alien. If we had only secured our borders, that little girl would not have been attacked. We got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. Lines are open. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's get to the phone. So we were having a conversation with our dear friend, Miss Janice, in New Orleans. And Miss Janice, you were weighing in on this young girl, 10 years old, an illegal alien charged with raping this young girl. Go ahead and finish your thought, Miss Janice.
Yes, I've been thinking about this. Now, like I said, you might have a nasty uncle or somebody like that, and I can understand how a child can be molested maybe by a family member more than once. But this is what gets me. How did the illegal come in contact with the girl in the first place, the first time? Because I thought he had only raped, I thought he had raped two girls. Then I heard, no, he raped her twice. Was he the caregiver? Where were the parents? Girl is raped, but says nothing, nothing at all. So it would not happen the second time. You would think that if a child is raped, maybe she's going to be a little upset or crying or something, or say something to her parents. Maybe the parents should be somewhat accountable for this as well. As for him, I'd give him the death penalty for sex with a minor, and I mean that sincerely.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that, Miss Janice. I think if you do something like that to a child, you deserve the death penalty. And if and quite frankly, over time, I think you will see the numbers of those kinds of crimes going down because people understand the penalty. Our problem
is But how did he get to do it not only once, but twice?
Look, that's a great question.
And
it does sound, I mean, typically in these kinds of situations, and I don't know the particulars
here.
Yeah, where are the parents?
I have lots of questions here. Yeah.
Oh, yes, and we're going to get those answered. We're going to get those answered. So, all right.
I hope so. Okay, you have a good one.
Miss Janice, always good hearing from you. 844-747-8868. By the way, yesterday, I got to play this audio. There's a woman testifying on Capitol Hill, and she's one of these hairy-legged gals. You know the kind I'm talking about. Going on about how abortion is an act of self-love. Cut number eight.
What these restrictions are intended to do is try and stop people from having abortions, but abortion is healthcare. My abortion was the best decision I ever made. It was an act of self-love, and I'm here today to make sure that everybody who currently needs an abortion, who has had an abortion or will need an abortion, is not alone, no matter what the state tries to force upon us.
No, it's not an act of self-love. It's an act of selfishness, and it is a criminal act. It is the taking of another person's life, and it's appalling, it's sickening, it's disgusting, and it is sad to think that there are people like this woman who truly believe this is what they believe. This is what they believe, and it's just unconscionable. But this is where we are in America right now. Unbelievable. Oh, Ted Cruz. You gotta love Ted Cruz. Marco Rubio. They're still going at it over Jill Biden's taco comment from the other day. Here's Senator Cruz.
Joe Biden's been president a year and a half. He hadn't been to the border once. He has time to answer questions about his favorite flavor of ice cream. The Biden White House has time to write speeches at something called a Latinx conference. I don't know what that is. Where they very kindly called Latinos tacos. Well, Marco and I both appreciate being called tacos. Thing to remember about that speech, that wasn't a gaffe. That wasn't Joe Biden going off script. Some White House operative sat down and typed into the teleprompter, "This is a good idea to call Hispanics a bunch of tacos."
He did. And again, it would be like going out and, I mean, Biden would be comparing all the Israelis to couscous or, I don't know, hummus or something. It's just bizarre. But folks, there's just something not right about Joe Biden. Now, And it goes beyond his brain and the function of his brain. When you go back and look at this guy's history, there is plenty of cold, hard evidence that Joe Biden is a racist, a closet racist. Now, I'm not saying he runs around in the White House wearing a Klan uniform, but he loved back in the day to hang out and to pal around with a bunch of segregationists, some really bad dudes. One of those was James Eastland. And just the other day, Biden was up there again talking about how, you know, he would go to battle with the segregationists and then they'd go out for lunch afterwards. Presumably to be served in the chambers of Congress by blacks who would overhear all these horrible things that the segregationists were saying about them. But James Eastland was a staunch opponent to civil rights, a staunch opponent. He was also an anti-Semite, James Eastland was. Now, nobody wants to talk about this, but this was a very bad person. You had a group of Southern Democrats who fought tooth and nail during the 1960s to defeat the Civil Rights Act. And Joe Biden's out there saying, yeah, I used to pal around with them. So are we really all that surprised when you've got somebody like, you know, his wife, Dr. Mrs. Jill Biden, the first lady, and she goes out there and she cracks a joke about the Hispanics, you know, are like a bunch of tacos? I don't think so. I think there's something more to that. They love to go after, and you just think about this. When you see pictures of Donald Trump, you see pictures of Donald Trump surrounded by a very diverse group of people. From, you know, Herschel Walker, you've got Don King. I mean, just go down the list. I'm not going to name everybody, but he surrounded himself with a very diverse group of people. Do you see any black folks surrounding Joe Biden back in Delaware? No, Kamala Harris doesn't count. I'm talking about back in Delaware. Do you see him? I don't. I mean, Joe Biden, even in his stories that he would share from his youth, back when he would be the lifeguard and have the battles with Corn Pop, the urban street thug, and he would let the children, the black children, caress his curly blonde leg hairs at poolside, his words, not mine. Even those stories come with just a tinge of racism. And the media ignores all of this. Kamala Harris hit a nerve during that Democrat presidential debate when she went after Joe Biden on the issue of busing and segregation. And Jill Biden came unglued. And there is still bad blood between the two. I don't know. Just seems to me that there's more to this. Media doesn't want to go sniffing around. But I smell a racist. All right, let's go to the phones here. Cindy, Portland, Maine, WLOB. Cindy, what's on your mind today?
Well, good afternoon. Number one, I have got experience working with children, 30 years. I've done trainings on sexual abuse for children in other areas. I've never heard of an older person with dementia or Alzheimer's molesting a child. What it's called is grooming. What he's doing when you're touching a child on the knee or the arm or smelling their hair, it's called grooming. And it's just not something that somebody would do functionally. It's a very dysfunctional action. And the other thing is on the young girl, 10-year-old girl that was raped. Number one, a lot of kids at 10, a little bit older, even younger, sometimes they are threatened that if they talk or say anything, something will happen to a family member, a pet, or whatever. We don't know all the circumstances, how he had contact with this child as far as how he was able to have contact with her. But I agree with you. I believe when any child is sexually abused, it should be a death penalty, because that is something with all the counseling and everything, some of them, they never get over it.
Cindy, I'm glad you're sharing this information, because this is good to know, because something is just not right. And even the children know, whenever he does something like that to a child, you see this reaction, this visceral, they're almost recoiling. They know that whatever is happening is not a natural occurrence. And we saw that with the video that we just posted yesterday of Biden sniffing that girl's hair from behind.
And past experience, letting a child rub the hair on your legs, that is just plain sick. That is just, like I said, that's part of what we call grooming. It's letting the child get comfortable enough so sometime when the time is right, they'll try to do more to the child or allow the child to know that it's okay, and it's not. And like I said, parents need to really have a good communication back and forth with their children so a child feels safe that they can come and tell their parent or guardian, whoever's taking care of them, what's going on. And if they don't feel safe saying that, if they've been taught to respect everybody, and children today, you know, we used to say be afraid of strangers. Well, it's not always strangers we're finding out today that molest children. So they need to know that nobody has a right to touch you at all.
And Cindy,
or smith your, you know, smell your hair or get no close contact like that. It's just not. They need to be educated by their parents.
Oh, yeah. And Cindy, we have seen this time and time again, and I'm not trying to read anything into what happened during the, you know, the Biden growing up years.
Right.
But it's clear to me when you've got your grown children that are going through rehab, they're addicted to drugs, they've embraced all of these very dangerous tendencies, that tells me that something happened in the childhood that was so traumatic it led them down this path. I'm not saying all the times, but I'm saying based on what we already know about Joe Biden, it is very, very disturbing.
And I was so glad to hear you bring up the death penalty, because I am favor of it when all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed, and especially when they admit it. And today you've got, you know, DNA testing. You have so many tests they can take. Who wants to support somebody like this man that, and how we need to find out how he had, and Grace brought up a good thing. How did he have access to her twice? Was there somebody working around them on a farm or whatever? But it makes no difference. The bottom line is they need to be put away, and we shouldn't have to support them for the rest of their life, whatever town or state they're living in, because that comes out of the taxpayers' money.
I'm with you. Save
when
us a few dollars.
You've got poor people that can't afford to eat or have a place to live, but yet these people are going to have, you know, a place to live 24/7, clothing, food. It's just, and they get dental, they get everything, and it's wrong. It puts out a bad message. And I know you probably have others waiting, but I got to tell you, I have Culture Jihad. I read it in less than a day. I couldn't put it down. It was awesome. And I also have daily devotions, and I got one for myself and one for my grandson, who wants to be a pastor, and he's takes part in a little church up where they live, up country, a Baptist church. And he has a full-time job, but he's still getting ready to do that. And he loved it. He'd already read, his birthday was July 3rd, and he called me last week and said, oh, Nana, I love it. I've already read 3 stories.
I love it.
I read it every day. I've got so many pages earmarked. I love it, Todd. You did an awesome job. And your friend Michelle, it's just a great book.
Well, you are so kind to say that, Cindy. And I'm already working on a new project, and we'll be sure to get you a copy of that when it comes out. Thank you for those kind words.
I enjoy your show. I'll tell you, tell it like it is. And it's like people, if they don't like it, they don't have to listen, because you really get the message out there, and we need to hear that more than ever today.
Cindy, appreciate that call.
You take
and
care.
All right, you too now. I like Cindy. So Culture Jihad is the book she was referring to, and I'd love for you to get a copy of it. It really does. It helps you make sense of what's going on in the culture right now, and you can get a copy over the website, toddstearns.com. Want to share some news with you real quick before we take a break, and we're going to go right to the calls. New York Magazine sat down with Donald Trump, and by the way, New York Magazine is a leftist publication, sat down with President Trump. God bless President Trump for being able to sit down with the left, because he does it. And he broke a little bit of news. He says that he is deciding whether or not he announces before or after the midterms. That's the news nugget coming out of this interview he did with New York Magazine. And I'm going to ask you, do you think Trump should go ahead and announce before the midterm elections or after the midterm elections? That's what President Trump is weighing right now. I know the team Trump down at Mar-a-Lago, they listen to this program, and they would like to hear from you guys. What do you think? Should the president announce before or after the midterm elections? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. New York magazine piece just dropped. They did an interview with President Trump over at Bedminster. That's his golf course in New Jersey. Beautiful place. Trump says, look, I feel very confident that if I decide to run, I'll win. It's interesting. Throughout the interview, the reporter makes the point of saying that he would always say, if I decide. But he did say that whatever decision is going to be made, and this is what he's dealing with, do I do it before the midterms or after the midterms? Let's go to the phones here, 844-747-8868. Charles in North Carolina, WSIC. All right, what should the president do here, Charles?
Hey, Todd. Todd, in my humble opinion, I think that Donald Trump should wait until after the midterms to announce, and I'll tell you why. I think if he were to make that announcement now, the media is going to do everything they can to pounce on it, and it's going to distract from the momentum that the Republicans have right now for this massive landslide that I'm anticipating, unless they do something to postpone the election. But I think he needs to just keep doing what he's doing, do his rallies, you know, announce your positions, but just let everything unfold. And the day after that landslide, Todd, on November the 4th, I would come out, announce my candidacy, announce my agenda. I would put impeachment of Joe Biden as well as investigation, announce your economic plan, what you're going to do for the country, and get the entire Republican Party behind you. And I would also leave it open, the fact that I would be willing to be the next Speaker of the House if you want me to do that.
Oh, I like that idea. And, you know, there had been a lot of scuttlebutt about Trump maybe being Speaker of the House. I think he'd be brilliant at that. And honestly, I think he could probably get more cleaned up as Speaker of the House than he could in the White House, talking about that deep swamp. Could you imagine AOC? AOC and the squad trying to go up against Donald Trump.
Yeah, and he's the only person that has the guts to do it and to take all the arrows and the knives they're going to throw at him. But, yeah, Todd, I think that was the best strategy is for him just to hold back right now and then announce right after the midterm. That's my opinion.
You see, I'm with you. There's really no need for him to announce now. As a matter of fact, it's not really to his benefit to announce now. So, you know, just look, enjoy it. He's out there doing the rallies. I got to tell you, the Alaska rally, it was spot on. The tone, the tenor, the vibe. I thought that was the right move for him to make. So, Charles, we'll see. I got to run. I got to take a break here for the news. Charles says President Trump needs to wait. Just wait till after the midterms. 844-747-8868. That's our telephone number. ToddStarnes.com is our website. Hey, that's where you can get a copy of Culture Jihad and our Daily Biscuit. You're going to love the books, just like Cindy from Maine said. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Good to have you with us, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. By the way, a special hello to our friends in Salem, Oregon. And next week, we're going to be out there for 2 days of big events. And we want you to be a part of the festivities. I'll be speaking to the Marion County Republican Party at a big barbecue. We'll be doing some book signings out there. KYKN is our great affiliate. They're hosting us, and they have information on their website as well as ours over at ToddStarnes.com. So grab your neighbors, grab your friends. We're going to have a great time triggering the leftist in Oregon. And you folks in Youngstown, Ohio, good news. We're going to be coming on live. We've added 2 new affiliates in the Youngstown, Ohio area. So great to see that the show continues to grow. We've been following a lot of the political races around the nation, and especially in the state of Arizona, where there's a hotly contested primary for the Arizona governorship. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Good to have back with us Karen Taylor Robeson. Karen, good to have you with us today.
Well, Todd, thank you for having me.
So, look, I think it's interesting that the polling data is sort of all over the place, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts on how things are going, boots on the ground in Arizona.
Well, I can tell you the momentum is ours. Just in the last few weeks, things have really, really started to shift in our direction. All of the public polls show us in a statistical tie, which is pretty remarkable since I started the year at zero and I was up against a 27-year media personality who was at 43 points. Our own internal polls have me actually ahead. And we, you know, momentum is everything in the political game. And just out on the trail, we feel it, we see it. We're racking up endorsements all over the place from leading conservative voices around this country. And I couldn't be more proud of the people that are supporting me. And I couldn't be more excited and optimistic about our victory on August 2nd.
Karen, after we had you on for the first time, and we've had Carrie Lake on a number of times as well, we try to be fair and balanced and get both candidates on this program, and we do that with other races around the country. But I got a lot of hate mail from people who claim to be Trump supporters there in Arizona, and they say that you're not a Trump supporter. And I'm looking at your history and your background and your bio, and I'm wondering how can they possibly make those claims when, in fact, you have a long history of supporting President Trump. Trump, how are you dealing with those kinds of questions out on the campaign trail?
Well, at the end of the day, the truth always comes out, and I am really running against the purveyor of fake news for, you know, she was there for 27 years, and by her own admission, she was lying to us for a long time, so it's no surprise that she'll lie to the voters of Arizona, but you're right. I have a lifetime track record of supporting Republican candidates and conservative causes and have donated and raised millions of dollars to back that up. And as it relates to President Trump, we supported him in 2016. We supported him in 2020. In fact, we wrote checks and raised over $1 million for Donald Trump. And I will defend his record all day long. What he was able to accomplish, not in 4 years, you know, the last year was kind of stolen from him, but in 3 years rivals any president in our history. And so, you know, I had half of his kids at my house at fundraisers. My daughter worked for him at the White House. We were there for him in 16. We were there for him in 2020. And it's, you know, pretty rich of my opponent, Carrie Lake, you know, who declared Joe Biden the winner on election night. And she didn't get involved in anything related to Trump until after he was defeated. But, you know, the voters of Arizona are really smart and they're coming to that conclusion on their own.
And that's the concern I would have. I happen to be a registered Republican, and it concerns me when people jump into races and announce, oh, guess what? I'm going to be a conservative now. That really doesn't wash with me. I want to see somebody's track record. I want to be able to see their votes if they've, you know, been elected and there's a voting record. And if there's not a voting record, I just want to see, okay, where is the fruit of that person out there claiming to be a conservative?
Right. Right. And like I said, I have, you know, from efforts to, you know, restore civics education in our schools, not just in Arizona, but across the country, I led that effort. You know, so I put my money where my mouth is. And like I said, I have worked for Republican candidates my whole life and people in Arizona who know me and have worked with me in the private sector for 30 years. They all know I'm a conservative, but they also know that I'm respectful of others. I listen to people. We come together to solve complex problems. And the more the people of Arizona get to see Carrie Lake, that is not in her DNA. That is not in her personality. She has had quite a, I would call it a fluid political adventure throughout her life, being a Republican and a Democrat and an independent and a Republican. You know, you just don't know which Carrie Lake is going to show up. I have been consistent throughout my life. And I truly believe that's why the polls are showing the trends as they are, you know, they will continue for the next 2 weeks, I believe, and we will be victorious. But you do need to look at somebody's track record. And I tell people often the one skill you won't see on my resume is you know, reading a teleprompter. My teleprompter is in my head and in my heart. And I've spent 30 years in the private sector dealing with issues that matter to Arizona, from water to transportation to education to security issues. In fact, that's why the National Board of
Border Patrol Council endorsed me earlier this week. They know of my track record. They know of my commitment to security. They know that I understand and appreciate and have made my priority the safety and security of the people of Arizona. And they have added their name to a growing list of other law enforcement agencies around the country and around the state in supporting my candidacy.
Karen, I want to get you to respond to this crazy attack ad from the Democrat Party there. They were thanking you for donating to Democrats. I mean, at face value, they're terrified that you're going to get the nomination because they know you're going to win. And that's why they put this out. But can you explain that to folks? Did you donate to Democrats?
You know, I've been a land use lawyer in the real estate development business for my professional career. And at the local level, they're nonpartisan races. And I have donated to members of city councils and mayors around the state and, you know, that didn't run as a Republican or Democrat, but may have been a Democrat. In fact, if anybody wanted to take a closer look, they would see in several instances, multiple instances, where you might have somebody who is a registered Democrat, but they're running against a true leftist. And absolutely, I'll defend those donations all day long. And, you know, I'm representing clients all over. I was before I put my career on hold.
But Karen, I mean, look, no, you did exactly. I mean, look, Donald Trump, you know, back when he was in business in New York City, he would donate to Republicans, Democrats, everybody. It was just part of the game as a businessman and in the real estate business.
That's right. But I think the fact that the Democrat Party is coming after me is indicative of the fact that they are, you know, afraid of me winning the primary. And, you know, they've been, the Democrat Governors Association have had their people in Arizona for months now, just going through my record and the cities I've worked in and the boards I've served on just to try anything and find anything and everything they can. They would much, much rather run against Carrie Lake because she's going to have a hard time prevailing in a general election. And so their focus is on me right now.
Karen, real quick before we let you go, there have been lots of reports of the border surge, border invasion, more than 13,000 migrant crossings over in Texas in the Del Rio sector in just a 7-day period. I know that's a big issue for you folks in Arizona. And there had been calls for Governor Ducey to declare an invasion. If you are elected governor, would you do that? Would you declare an invasion that has happened in Arizona?
Well, what I've said for a long time, there is an invasion, whatever you want to call it. If you go down to the border, you will see that we are being invaded. In fact, in Yuma, the Yuma sector alone, there are now more illegal crossings in Yuma than there are in Del Rio, Texas, although Texas gets far more media coverage and media play. But, you know, when you use invasion as a legal term of art, there are two very different competing legal theories about, you know, whether or not under Article 1, Section 9 of the Constitution can be invoked. And so I think we have an opportunity with President Trump's 234 judicial appointments to, you know, make sure we can resolve that legal issue. But as a practical matter, we are being invaded, and Arizona is on the front lines of what is a 50-state border war. I no longer call it a crisis. It is a 50-state border war because governors across this country are having to deal with the impacts of the disastrous Biden-Harris administration and their disastrous border policies. You know, it's costing Arizona billions of dollars. And beyond the economic cost, the human tragedy that's unfolding across this country as a result of these open border policies, you know, between human smuggling and sex trafficking and the fentanyl, the rise in fentanyl overdoses, it is a tragedy. And we're going to be paying the price for generations.
Karen, look, I really appreciate you coming on the program. You answered the tough questions, and I think it makes sense. When people hear the explanations, they're like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, so you know what you're saying. So I wish you the very best out there on the campaign trail. Good luck on Election Day.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you for having me.
All right, Karen Taylor-Robeson, everybody, running in a hotly contested race in the GOP primary there in Arizona. Carrie Lake is her opponent. Look, I like Carrie Lake, too. But the challenge I have here is that Lake has had a history, and she said that she's become a Trump convert. President Trump has endorsed her. Yet at the same time, Karen Robeson has a track record. And that's something we should look at as well. Got to take a break. We'll be right back. Word off, Kyle said he was going to turn me on, Grace Baker. I think we were talking about the microphone. Is that right? Yes, it is.
I have literally no comment to add to that.
I don't know what.
It's been a weird day, but I'm not taking
it. The whole day has been weird. I don't know what it is. There's something in the water.
It's ever since Harold called.
Can we... Y'all be nice to Harold. I'm trying to defend the guy.
Harold. I actually feel kind of bad for Harold.
He called me out. You're no Rush Limbaugh. Well, nobody can be Rush Limbaugh, Harold.
And nobody can be Todd Starnes.
Rush Limbaugh was Rush Limbaugh.
Todd Starnes is Todd Starnes. Anyway.
Kamala Harris, can we talk about this for just a moment? You know, is she are we allowed to use phrases like dingbat or ditzy broad?
Can I call her an idiot?
Or a moron? You could call her an idiot.
She's acting like an
she
idiot.
Always had. I don't know what the. It's just the weirdest things coming out of her mouth. Here's what she said yesterday.
Together, we are expanding access to transportation. Seems like maybe it's a small issue. It's a big issue. You need to get to go and need to be able to get where you need to go to do the work and get home. So we have expanded access to transportation.
You got to get to go where you got to go. That's, you know, I went back, and when you look at her career path, it really sort of starts when she was the, oh, what's the polite word here? The paramour of one Willie Brown, the mistress of one Willie Brown. And it's interesting. Seriously, how did she get to where she is today? I think we need to have a conversation about that.
I will also not comment on how she got to the top.
I don't want you to comment on that. We're gonna
leave
tease.
That there.
We're teasing the audience with that. That's all. Let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Steve in Arkansas. Steve, what's going on?
Hey, Todd. I want to kind of left-handed answer your Trump question about his. Should he run and when he should announce and all this stuff. I mean, that's been in the news a lot lately. I think if the country really did what it needs to do, that would kind of be a mute point. I think we need to have an age limit on running for public office, service on the judiciary. We have an age limit at the lower end of the presidency. Why not have one at the upper end?
You know, that's actually, that's a good question, Stephen. It's a great point. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
If you will look at the political landscape right now and look at who's doing the most damage to the country in political offices, Senate, House, wherever you want to look, mainly the federal government, all of them are over 70 years old.
It's true.
You can eliminate the majority of your bad actors by just passing that one along.
It's a fair point you're making there, Steve. All right. We'll see what the audience thinks about that. Folks, Steve says we need an age limit on the presidency, both on the on both ends. We've already got one on one end, but he says the other as well. Let's go to Ella J, Georgia, our good friend Joe from Ella J. Hey, Joe, what's up?
Todd, you're great. I'd like for Trump to go ahead and announce, and I'm down here at Sea Island. Like I said last week, they love you here at Sea Island. And a lot of people down here at Sea Island come up to me from different parts of the country, and they say, Joe, we need a Trump-DeSantis ticket because, you know, DeSantis is very popular and Trump is too. I think that would be an awesome ticket, and a lot of people down here think the same thing. And Todd, I want to recommend you write a book. I'm reading a Gingrich book now, How to Defeat Socialism. Well, I don't know anybody be better to write a book on how to defeat socialism than the great Todd Starnes. So let me recommend to you and Grace that you write a book on how to defeat socialism, because I think it would be a best-selling book, in my opinion.
Joe, I would love to do that, but I'm telling you, I'm ready for a vacation. I got to take a few days off. I can't be writing another book.
Well, Todd, enjoy yourself. You deserve
right.
a vacation.
Well, yes, sir. I agree with that.
Here.
All right, Joe. Enjoy Sea Island. Beautiful area out there. Let's go to Salem, Oregon. Tom on KYKN. Hey, Tom, what's going on?
Hi there. Hanging in there. It's amazing just to try to keep my blood pressure down with this this group and this whole world situation, how they like to run the energy out of business. But I thought on Joe and Kamala is we got Dumb and Dumber running the country. And I'm also kind of wondering, what kind of drugs did she use in college, or where was she at, man?
Wow, you're not kidding.
I thought the 70s was pretty heavy duty what we went through, and the late 60s. And
I mean, every time, Tom, every time I hear her speak, I'm thinking, what is she sniffing or smoking? It's the craziest thing.
Yeah. I think there's something going on there, and that's the sad part. You know, if we get rid of him, then
yeah,
what the hell are we going to do with her?
Yeah, because I'm afraid she's the dumber. That's shocking. Hey, Tom, now you got to come. I'm coming to town next week, so you got to swing by and say hello. We're gonna be over at the Adams Rib Smokehouse, and we're doing another big event, and we've got all the info over on the KYKN website, so we'd love to see you in person. Yeah.
Absolutely, and that's one of the best rib places around.
Well, that's what they're telling me. Here. I can't wait. Oh, yeah. I'm eating salad right now in preparation. So, all right, Tom, appreciate the call. He says Biden and Harris, dumb and dumber. I kind of wonder who's on what end of that the description. Hey, got to take a break. Crazy crime news coming up. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. All right, people, welcome back. Good to have you with us. Let's go to the phones. Cleveland, Georgia, home of Truett McConnell University. David on the line. Hey, David, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, it's good to hear from you. And I really do hope you write another book, because your books are fantastic.
Well,
I enjoy reading your book.
Thank you very much.
But I just want to encourage everybody to get out and vote. You know, the puppet show's got to come to an end, okay? All things have to come to an end, and we got to get rid of the puppets, okay? It's a terrible show. The act is terrible. The scripts are just terrible. I mean, we got to get back out there and you know, because right now I don't make a lot of money, but me and my wife pinch every penny we have right now, and it's just terrible. Our taxes are going up. The gas is going up. Groceries are just going crazy, and you know what budget we had is just we've had to rewrite everything. And, you know, I have to work overtime, less time with my kids. So it's just crazy, Todd. I really hope we get out and do the right thing. We have got to win the Senate and the House back. We got to stop the Bidens. You know, this ministry is done. It's over with.
No, it is. It is, David, and you're right. We do have to get out and vote, and that's why we share this information so that people are not complacent. They're not sitting back in the lazy boy drinking the Baptist martini, thinking no need for me to go out and vote today. So you know somebody's going to handle it, or they're going to win in a landslide. The Republicans. No, we need everybody out to vote. So, David, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. Yesterday, Congressman Chip Roy on this legislation, this active shooter legislation, they want to do like the Amber Alerts, but with active shooter incidents. Here's Congressman Chip Roy.
I want to associate myself with the remarks of my friend from Florida, Mr. Gates, just a few minutes ago, with respect to his position about what this bill will do in terms of fear and its purpose of creating fear among the people. That's the reality. That's what we're dealing with. Texas has an alert system. States have an alert system. That's where this properly resides. That's where the police power resides, in the states. In fact, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee even acknowledged this reality that, well, okay, states have this, but here's a federal program we're going to create with $2 million. You can use it if you want. This is another example of Washington creating another department, another position, spending more money that we don't have in order to have a policy objective of continuing to advance fear among the American people. Remember the COVID alerts? How many alerts do we need on our phone to create fear in the minds of the American people? Right? Allow the states to make a decision about when there's something that is meritorious, whether it's a tornado alert, whether it's an Amber alert, but allow the local jurisdictions to make that decision, not bureaucrats in Washington. That's the reality, but I think it would probably be a more advantageous use of our time to develop a congressional stupidity alert system or a congressional harm alert system. I mean, we do it every single day. That's what this body is actually engaged in on a regular basis, harming the American people through either non-action or action.
Well, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line is Congressman Chip Roy. I like the idea, but Congressman, I'm afraid my phone would be beeping around the clock if we did that.
Yeah, I remember my friends yesterday were saying, dude, you can't do that. My phone would never stop buzzing. It's true. And obviously it was a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but only sort of, right? I mean, that's the main thing is I want the American people to understand what happens up here, right? All these people come up here and say, oh, I'm going to change Washington. I'm going to fight for you. Well, what the hell is fighting for me when we got $31 trillion in debt? Our borders are absolutely wide open. We're getting rid of all of our ability to have energy that's abundant and cheap and affordable. We're getting ourselves engaged in foreign affairs entanglements over in Ukraine. I go down the laundry list of things. And vaccine mandates, you know, knocking off our, you know, brave service members. What are people up here, including Republicans, what are we doing? How are we fighting for the people that we represent other than creating more harm? And so it was tongue-in-cheek, but there's truth behind it.
Oh, no, I get it. And it was well appreciated, and we understood what, you know, the point you were trying to make. Meanwhile, we were sharing information. They're saying, what, more than a quarter million troops are not fully vaccinated. Many of those people could be given the heave-ho. You're looking at the Border Patrol saying an estimated 850,000 gotaways, which are scattered all over the country. It's chaos, Congressman.
No, that's exactly right. And I want to go back to this vaccine mandate issue for a moment, right? I mean, the border is front and center. We can talk about that. But this vaccine mandate issue, right? I had a major, I'm not going to say his name, who was in my office, you know, teary-eyed, breaking down because after 19 years of service, he's facing discharge, general discharge, not even honorable discharge, because he has natural immunity, doesn't believe the shot's in his best interest, and is not taking the shot. This is a shot, by the way, that even the CDC director, who is incompetent, is still today at least acknowledging that it does nothing for the sharing of the virus, right? It does nothing to prevent transmission. And that's actually the reason you would have a vaccine requirement, not because you might get personally sick and never mind natural immunity. Yet we're going to lose people. And I was at Fort Sam Houston in San Antonio, which I represent, Joint Base San Antonio. And they were talking about how bad their recruiting is. They're at 40% levels on recruiting because of all of the woke garbage and because of these vaccine mandates. And we're about to kick out thousands of our brave service members because they don't want to subject themselves to a shot that is still unproven. It's absurd. And that's what this administration is doing. Yet Republicans aren't fighting it. And it's shameful.
Congressman, I want to go back to this major who was in your office. What encouragement were you able to give him? And what is his status? Did he apply for a religious exemption?
Yeah, well, I don't want to get into the real specifics about him to sort of identify anything that's personal or private. But in general terms, my encouragement to him and to others is to do what you believe is in your best interest. You have allies in Washington that are fighting for you, that when we get the gavel back, I can promise you I'm going to roast Republicans if we don't go make this right for our service members who are taking this on the chin. They shouldn't face discharge. So do what you think is right for you and your family. And that's what I'm encouraging. And we're going to continue to push that. I think there are a lot of, you know, just today, there was a temporary restraining order in a court in Cincinnati for the Air Force in order to certify a class of those that are seeking religious accommodation. And that's good. So that there are things moving in court. But I want these great, brave patriots to not feel like they have to give up on their values because yet they don't have people in Washington fighting for them. Some of us are.
It's like we're putting out fires and fighting battles all over the place, Congressman. And I know we promised your crew we'd have you out here lickety-split, and we're going to do that. So, Congressman, we really appreciate your time this afternoon.
No, Todd, I appreciate it. And then one last thing on that. I've got about two more minutes before I go vote. On the border, and I'm on the floor. That's why I'm having to run out. But the border, the reality of what's happening. You mentioned 850,000 gotaways. I was in Eagle Pass last week, and you know, dealing right there on the border at the Rio Grande with what we're seeing with the actual catch and release. They're not even claiming asylum anymore. They're literally just taking them, releasing them under parole or a notice to appear without any asylum determination, sending them to the United States, and we have no idea where they're going. And we're talking about millions now. We're in numbers that are extraordinary. 3 million apprehensions under this administration. At least probably 1.5 million of those released. 850,000 gotaways, which are the most dangerous individuals. damage to Texas, fentanyl pouring into our community. So we're going to keep fighting. We're going to elevate this. I can promise you that we're going to fight this. We're going to find it on spending measures. And if Republicans don't, then Republicans deserve to get thrown out on their ear if they don't stand up and fight if the American people give them power this November.
Well said. All right, Congressman, thank you. Go vote. God bless you, and thanks for fighting the good fight for us.
Thanks, Todd. God bless. Take care.
All right. Good man right there. And again, we're gonna try to get details on this major, and you know, if the Congressman is able to share what he can share, we will pass that information along to you. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. Folks, now more than ever, we've got to support companies and organizations that share our values. That's why we support Patriot Mobile. They're mobilizing freedom. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian and conservative wireless carrier. And they've got some great deals for our listeners. All you need to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Or give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. They're going to give you, get this, a special discount and free premier activation. But you got to use my promo code Todd to do that. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd or 972-PATRIOT. And be sure to use that promo code Todd. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Todd Starnes. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Hope you're doing good today. Grace, you're kind of feeling a little peppy, dancing along to the bumper music.
I just love the song.
It's a great song.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that the Bee Gees?
I guess.
I'm pretty sure.
Is it? Okay.
I love the Bee Gees.
I get, you know, Fleetwood Mac, the Bee Gees, Stevie Nicks.
Yeah. Yeah, no, whatever. Put them all together.
Time now for crime news across America.
Keeping you updated on crimes sweeping across the fruited plain.
I ain't scared of no popo car, the popo car, the popo.
This is the Starnes APB.
Dateline, Miami, Florida. A heinous crime occurred. Television station WSVN reports on the victim, Michelle Reynolds. She went downstairs Saturday night to make herself a snack. After putting the popcorn in the microwave. Oh, I love popcorn. That's very... Someone was just popping popcorn, Grace Baker, downstairs, and no one offered me any popcorn.
Oof.
I passed by, there was a bucket, and there were kernels, but no.
The evidence was there, but the food was gone.
Pardon me, let me put my news hat back on. After putting her popcorn in the microwave, she went to use the bathroom. She opened the door, did a quick turnaround because she saw a thing in the bathroom.
A thing? Could be a lot of different things.
An iguana.
Oh, yes, expecting that.
An iguana came crawling out of the commode.
That's terrifying. And this was in the middle of the night, right?
It was in the middle of the night. And can you imagine?
I would never go back to sleep.
It doesn't say what happened. Did she finish eating the popcorn? What happened?
I think the iguana was captured, and the woman is safe in her bed.
So, according to the report here, Miss Reynolds had to enlist the aid of Harold Rowden of Iguana Lifestyles. So, apparently, it is such a big problem in Florida that you can make a career out of this. So, you can make a career out of removing iguanas from toilets.
Who knew?
Mr. Roden said he removed a Mexican spiny tail iguana from the toilet about 18 inches long. Oh, my.
That's horrifying.
You're going to have to double flush to get rid of that. All right, moving along to Boston. A family's beloved pet cat has been dodging airport personnel. Can I just say, this is like Animals Gone Wild edition.
I don't know why there were so many animal stories today.
A family's beloved cat escaped at Logan International Airport about 3 weeks ago. It was in a pet carrier. Rowdy is the name of the cat.
That's very fitting.
Rowdy was given a health check and will be returned from the... from the crime standpoint, was this a runaway? Is that...
Yeah, I think he was running. It's at what they said, 3 weeks?
Yeah, it started in Germany. So this is an international incident. So Rowdy's time on the lam began back in June. The family returned from deployment in Germany. When the flight landed, the four-year-old black cat apparently escaped and went and started chasing birds.
They're bad luck, too. You got to watch them.
Oh, the cat or the birds? The
black bird. No, the black cat. You know what they say at Halloween.
That's true. Can we get some human criminal activity here? All right, next story. Yet again, a Florida man. It's always Florida, isn't it? Always Florida. A Florida man wanted. He went on the lam, gave cops the slip by driving into a swamp. He finally got caught while he was trying to escape deputies on a lawnmower. The Oogaloosa. Oh, is this the lawnmower? Run, Dusty, run! Dusty Mobley took flight on a John Deere lawnmower.
Took flight.
This is terrible.
You can hear him a mile away with the noise. Yeah.
Yes, you can. Dusty really should have thought this through. The police ordered him to get off of the lawnmower, but instead he hit the gas. Okay, that's really not going to help much, right?
It's just louder.
So the deputies hustled after him on foot and were able to tase him. Now, that's dangerous because, you know, if the lawnmower keeps going, it just cut off abruptly. But if the lawnmower keeps going, then, I mean, Dusty could be, you know, in pieces.
Well, when you get tased, I think that it just stopped automatically, the lawnmower. So,
oh, that's
boom.
Not good. That's not good. Oh, they also found guns, drugs, and a handcuff key.
There it is.
On the lawnmower. So there you go. All right. Next story. Really? Another Florida guy?
I'm sorry. The stories write themselves. I can't control where it happens.
This is the headline from The Smoking Gun. Man busted for battering cop with hot dog. A Florida man facing felony battery charges for striking a cop with a thrown hot dog. Jason Stoll is the perp. He was selling hot dogs on a downtown St. Petersburg store. I've been to St. Petersburg. Lovely town. Police gave him numerous warnings that he was in violation of a city ordinance. He ignored the warning and continued to sell hot dogs in the roadway after the street closure permit ended. The defendant, quote, was told to put down the hot dog. When he was directed to drop the hot dog, he became extremely upset and threw the wiener.
Was it a foot long, though?
Well, that remains to be seen. But according to the police, they wanted to point out that the hot dog was, in fact, not a sandwich. I'm not sure what that has to do with anything.
I'm not sure.
You know, that's just causing controversy. That is just throwing salt in the wound. Because, you know, that's like a huge debate. Is a hot dog a sandwich or a or what? What
do you call it? It's a sandwich.
No, it's not a sandwich.
It has a piece of bread.
No, it's not a sandwich. That's a bun. It's not a sandwich.
So wait, what about a hamburger bun? Is that a sandwich?
Yes, that's a sandwich. Because it's meat between two pieces of bread.
Are you saying because it's one collective piece that it's not a sandwich?
Yes.
What if it identifies as a sandwich, Todd?
I'm just telling you. Well, I guess if it identifies as a sandwich. Do we know if it was an all-beef hot dog? Was it an all-beef Frank?
Ooh.
I mean, because that could, I mean, if it's the Oscar Mayer Angus beef, that could pack a punch. That could pack a wallop.
That's true.
Could leave a mark. I'm just saying. All right, next story. Jeez, Lou. Oh, this has got to be from Florida. It's from Wisconsin. It's about an alligator.
Had to throw you for a loop there.
Kenosha, Wisconsin. Oh, they got good brats there, by the way, speaking of sausages.
Oh, I love brats.
Kenosha, Wisconsin. Police found an alligator roaming a neighborhood. Are they indigenous to Kenosha, Wisconsin?
I didn't know that.
They found an alligator were just wandering around the neighborhood, the second alligator they found.
They got a problem.
Well, at least the alligator was on the sidewalk. That's where they found the alligator.
Oh, good thing.
Turns out the reptile, who's named Chomper, is someone's pet.
Oh, here we go again. We're going to get Don from North Carolina calling in about the pets. And
Who does that? Anyway, I guess his friend is Phil the alligator. So, but it's not illegal, apparently, to own an alligator in Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Well, I'm not moving there.
No, I'm pretty good. Well, would you rather have that coming up out of the toilet or the iguana? Got it. Folks, we got to get out of here. We need some help. Have a great one, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow.